Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on podcasthealth.com, radiomd.com, or iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing it. Of course, we are sponsored as usual, and I should first say, I am your host, Dr. Mike Roizen. This is 1253B. The Bs are always great guests. We have, as usual, a wonderful guest. Brian Belafonte is the author of The Sultan of Garbage. You can find out more about it at sultanofgarbage.com or at Belafonte, Belafant.com. I'll repeat those later. Our sponsors are, as usual, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and the drug that you want to take with a GLP-1 if you have nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, or constipation. It's a pediatric diarrhea drug, DiRescue, but about 60% of the people who take it 2 days before and 3 days after a change in dose of the GLP-1s, or even if they are just taking the same dose and have those symptoms, any of those symptoms, they seem to get pretty total relief of it. Go to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com, and see the double-blind randomized controlled trials on Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, why I believe most people over the age of 50 should be consider them at least with their doc. And of course, ForYoungevity.com. ForYoungevity.com, our other sponsor, is the website where you can sign up for the free newsletter that talks about everything in longevity, and probably clearing clutter is one of the things that helps relieve stress with part of your posse, your spouse. And Brian is not only the author of The Sultan of Garbage, but also Spouse Hunting, Using the Rules of Real Estate to Find the Love of Your Life. So I'm going to ask him about both of those today, since they're a great topic. Brian, I should admit to the public as well as you, that as a relatively busy physician involved in my own research, as well as clinical care, as well as writing now 25 lay books, as well as doing the podcast, etc., I accumulate a lot of paper and put it by year in bags. And so I have accumulated a mess of bags, and in fact, just this weekend, I cleared out three from the year 2016 and went through the shredder on all the financial things. It took me 4 hours to get through the three bags shredding. What do I do with all that? My wife takes all the shredded stuff to a recycling center. Is that an appropriate thing? What does the Sultan of Garbage say about that?
Well, let me start by saying I am not an expert. I'm a guy trying to work it out myself. And it's funny that you say that, because yesterday I got into a storage facility where I've been keeping a lot of things. My mom passed away a year and a half ago, and just, you know, accumulating things. And I found the same thing, box full of documents from 2015. And I'm thinking, you know, the financial stuff can get shredded. So I do this every year. I go through and I shred my stuff. And the place I go is a business that does the shredding, and they take the stuff and they recycle it, the shredded papers. There may be better solutions. Honestly, if you have one, please let me know.
So they can write, let you know at Belafonte, Belafant.com. I suppose they can write you there or put a note there, tell you they have a better idea. But let's talk about the four rules of the Sultan of Garbage, if you will. So you wrote this book as someone who has accumulated stuff. I think I can match you, but I don't actually have a storage thing other than a house and the reason I'm laughing is our apartment, we have a guest apartment over our garage that is about 2,000 square feet, and one of the bedrooms in that is just books of mine, extra copies of those 25 lay books and the four medical books I have written. Believe it or not, I have 8 4-drawer file cabinets, and I'll tell you why on this. 8 4-drawer file cabinets of the research. One of my mentors was sued for plagiarism. He plagiarized himself, actually. And consequently, I have saved every one of my documents and every edition of every medical paper I've written, which is about 200 of them, peer-reviewed medical papers, so that anyone who wants to accuse me of plagiarizing myself, I've got all the files, so I know what I've done, etc. But anyway, that's a lot of shredding I could do, if you will. And I'm laughing at how you at least have a storage bin. I have a storage house.
Well, you know, I don't know which one's better, to be honest. The thing about the storage facility is that I can forget about it for months at a time. The bills are paid automatically through my credit card. And the only reason it came up is because I'm going to be seeing my sister next month. And I'm thinking, oh, there's probably stuff in there for her. This is the thing. And this is really what the book comes to. And it's both as an individual, the character in the book, and as a society, we have a tendency to collect. It's all about waste and consumption. We consume because we're a society of consumers. We waste and we collect. And there's all this clutter. And if you ignore it long enough, it gets to be a really big problem.
I should show you my office. I'm almost afraid to.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I could match you clutter for clutter in mine. And, you know, this is the thing is people think I'm an expert on recycling and waste. And I, you know what? No. I'm an expert on clutter. That's for sure.
Well, so there are 4 rules in your book on the Sultan of Garbage. Let's go through them, if you will. Because I like them because they weren't overly demanding. And one of the things is we have a blue bin that we place all of our plastic in every week and put out to the collector, our city garbage collector. But you say recycling involves more than just placing items in the blue bin.
Yeah, let me modify that. Recycling can involve more than placing items in the blue bin. Okay, one of the really great examples that people like to use is those cardboard egg cartons your eggs come in. And the cliche is you could use those to, you know, plant seedlings so you can grow seedlings. Okay, I don't know how many seedlings you plant, but I certainly don't plant more than a dozen in an entire growing season, and I eat more eggs than that. So what do I do with the extra egg cartons? The thing that I get to with this is, yeah, think about it. If you can use it for something else, use it for something else. The other part that I think is really kind of important to me is we live in communities. And one of the fortunate things about where I live is we have this very strong community and people use the weirdest stuff. And so if you have leftover egg cartons, I guarantee you there's somebody in the neighborhood who wants them for something. You know, they're either soundproofing their basement or they're going to do an art project or what. I use more than anything the Facebook group that we have for our neighborhood. And we have a Buy Nothing group. We'll get to this in a second, but maybe this is a segue. We have free piles. You put something to the curb, I just put
it. That's rule number 2, free piles.
I know, right? How perfect was that? So where I live and probably a lot of other places, if you put something at the curb, it's just understood that, you know, it's free for the taking. And that way you don't have to go, I mean, yeah, it is kind of a hassle to advertise something and half the time people don't show up. But if you take it to the curb and somebody can use like the desk I just put out there, great, it's yours.
The third one is don't rush to throw items away. I just cleared out a house as a trustee of a friend for his estate. We cleared out his house, literally took 6 truckloads to a recovery center nearby. So your point is many charities can find new homes for used appliances, clothing, and other functional items.
Yeah, and this is something I actually found out when my mom passed away, that they're the general charities, you know, like the thrift shop, but there are those that specify either in the stuff that they collect or the audiences that they serve. And I say audiences, that's not the right word. But my mom had a lot of medical equipment, wheelchairs, walkers, that sort of stuff. And I found a charity that specialized in redistributing that to people who needed it. And that felt really good. And the other thing is I found another charity that supports veterans. And I thought, wow, I'd like to support the veterans. What the heck? You know, it's like, so let them benefit. My partner works for the Humane Society. And the Humane Society has its own thrift shop, and that's another place that we like to support. A lot of times they will have specific things that they're looking for, and sometimes things they won't take. And it just takes a little bit of digging and you can find out.
Now, the last thing is think critically about your purchases and make an effort to buy products that don't need to travel thousands of miles, which contributes to the pollution. And of course, if you don't buy something, you don't have to think about the packaging it's in, but think about the packaging it's in as well.
You know what? That's exactly right. And that's something that I wish was on this list because the packaging really bugs me. You know, when I get something, if I can't find it locally, and then it comes, you know, at the big box store or through Amazon or whatever, a lot of times it has layers and layers and layers of plastic. And it's the plastic that's the worst part for me because that stuff kind of lives forever. I mean, it sort of has a half-life, so it decays. And that's why there are all these microplastics in our environment. And that's a whole different thing. But the less packaging there is, and the less it has to travel, the better I feel about it. And yeah, I do shop for price. We all do. But I also shop for, you know, I'll spend a little bit more if I think it's doing a little bit of good. The other thing about it is I have become, I'm at that age where I don't really need to impress people with the underwear that I wear kind of thing. I'm not saying I buy used underwear, but I buy used stuff. You know, I don't need new furniture. There's amazing used furniture. And if I need a couch, we just picked up a couch at the, you know, at the place where my partner did thrift shop that they have. It's in great shape. And with four dogs, it's never going to be in beautiful shape. So why would we buy new?
So key rules are recycling involves more than placing items in the blue bin. Think of ways to repurpose it and to give it to someone. Consider creating free piles and don't rush to throw items away. Find charities that may use them and think critically about your purchases. I love those. Those are wonderful rules and they're even doable by someone like me. I have a new rule on clothing. It is, I can't buy another piece of clothing without giving one away or putting one in the thrift box. The interesting thing is we get a ton of, I have season tickets to three sports in Cleveland. So we get a ton of free shirts on the shirt giveaways. I've packaged a bunch of them for kids so that although they're big for kids in general, but kids like sporting events, so my wife is trying to get me to have a rule. I can't buy one piece of clothing unless I give two away. So I may have to, as you can tell, we have a 4,800 square foot house for just two of us, and it's hard to find extra space in there when guests come.
You know, and that's actually a really wonderful point is I notice this with myself. The more space I have, the more space I tend to fill. I built out part of my garage as an office, and now that space is full of stuff.
So let me talk to you about your other book, because one of the great things that I have in life is a 52-year partner. My wife and I have been married 52 years,
That's
which is
fantastic.
Pretty good since I'm only 57 years old, right?
Right. How did you do that?
In any case, the book is Spouse Hunting, Using the Rules of Real Estate to Find the Love of Your Life. So Spouse Hunting, tell us a little bit about Spouse Hunting and how you came upon that book. And by the way, we are talking with Brian Belefant, B-E-L-E-F-A-N-T, Belefant, B-E-L-E-F-A-N-T.com. And by the way, for the Sultan of Garbage, it is sultanofgarbage.com. So tell us, Brian, how you came about Spouse Hunting.
It's sort of a long story, but I'll try and make it quick. I had two really good careers, and then the third one didn't quite go as well as I wanted to, and then I ended up getting divorced. And I found myself figuring out what I was going to do for myself as a living, and I got into real estate. One of the things about me is I like to figure out how I do what I do. And I just sort of accumulated the rules as I saw them that I would help with buyers and sellers when they were trying to buy and sell their own homes. After probably, 7 years of being divorced. I was really ready to get a relationship and I wanted to do it right. And it occurred to me one day that the rules I had established for real estate might be applicable to dating. So I just sort of codified them. And I came up with actually 98, because I repeated one, because it's kind of clever, it really works in the book. These 98 rules of real estate, as it turns out, every single one except one is directly applicable to dating. And so I wrote a book. And part of the reason for writing the book was to make sense of it for myself. And I made sense of it for myself. And then I met this most wonderful person. We've been together for 5.5 years. And I'm still giddy about her.
So tell me about the rules of real estate first.
Well, the way I break it down is I'm actually looking through a draft of the book because I don't have a published copy. But it breaks down into categories. The categories are things like getting ready. How do you prepare for the buying and selling? It separates buying from selling because those are actually two different processes. And you have to think of them separately just because if you're looking for somebody and then somebody is looking for you, those are two different things. And if you separate them as being your mind, it makes it a lot clearer how you do the approach. It comes down to understanding what it is that you're looking for. What are things that you are not really going to compromise either about yourself or the person that you're looking for? And how do you negotiate the relationship once you've found that person?
Are there some key rules in spouse hunting?
I think there are lots of key rules in spouse hunting. Rule number four is you get pre-approved. You do that for when you buy a house. You need to have a mortgage. Well, when it comes to finding love, it's not like you go to a financial institution or anything, but you go to the people whose opinions you trust and you say, hey, I'm looking to get into a real live relationship. And let me just back up a second. This is not a book about hooking up or getting laid. This is a book about finding a meaningful relationship, someone that you could be married to for 52 years, because that's what I was looking for. So you go to the people you trust and you say, hey, look, this is what I'm looking to do. Am I ready? Do I have what it takes? And, if your friends are real friends, they'll say, you know what? Yeah, you're going to have to work on this. Or, yeah, you are ready or whatever. But listen, get the opinion. Another rule that I like is rule number five. And in real estate, I mean, to make a list. But I break my list down into three things. There are the deal breakers. There are the things that must have a compensating reason. And there are the things that you're attracted to. And so in a house, a deal breaker may mean we need 3 bedrooms. Must have a compensating reason. Okay, I want to live in a place with a view. Well, okay, maybe it's not really a view, but it's next to a park. Does the park compensate for the lack of the view? And then what you're attracted to is like, okay, I like mid-century modern homes. Does that mean that I have to have a mid-century modern home? Not necessarily. And so the same thing stands with the dating thing. The deal breakers are, what I'm attracted to. Okay, I'm attracted to women who are shorter than I am. Does that mean I can't date somebody who's taller than I am? No, that just means that's what I'm generally attracted to. Okay, I love this one. Rule number 39. This is if you're a seller. Don't waste your time on unqualified buyers. We have this in real estate. Yeah. People come by, look at a house, but they can't possibly buy the house. Don't waste your time. They're not going to buy your house. And it's exactly the same thing in dating. Don't go out on a date with somebody who's not willing to commit to a long-term relationship. If that's what you're looking for, then that's what you're looking for.
Got it. Well, the book is available on Amazon. I have just bought it for my son, matter of fact.
Thank you.
Spouse hunting. So there are two books we've talked about today with Brian Belfont, and it's belfont.com. One is The Sultan of Garbage. The full story is by Brian Belfont, and it has these four great rules that even I can live with in getting rid of garbage. And the second is Spouse Hunting, Using the Rules of Real Estate to Find the Love of Your Life. Thank you, Brian. And it is, again, belfont.com. This has been Dr. Mike Roizen, the host of You, the Owner's Manual radio podcast on podcasthealth.com, radiomd.com, or iHeart, wherever you download us from. And do enjoy Brian Belfont's work the way I have and hope you enjoyed today. Remember, the A's are always the latest medical news of the week, and there are great ones. The B's, well, I can tell you that Brian is reducing my stress, not from find the love of your life, if you will, spouse hunting. I've already done that. Thank you, Nancy. But this one is the Sultan of Garbage and the four rules that we went over. And just to repeat them quickly, recycling involves more than placing things in blue bins. Find ways of repurposing things or finding neighbors who can. And consider free piles in the community. Third is don't rush to throw things away. Find a charity that is appropriate for those. And some take desks, for example, and some take beds, and some take clothes, and some don't. And the fourth is think critically about your purchases and the packaging they will come in. So thank you, Brian. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too. Our sponsors, go to their websites, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue, D-I-A-R-E-S-Q, important to know about for those who are taking one of the GLP-1s or stepping up the dose. Take it 2 days before, 3 days after, and you may find no nausea, vomiting, constipation, or diarrhea is accompanying that. Thank you, Dye Rescue. And go to their website to see the double-blind randomized controlled trials on Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum and why I think most people over the age of 50 should consider them and talk to your doctor about them. And of course, the other website for longevity.com. It's the successor website to longevityplaybook.com. It is the number four longevity, Y-O-U. G-E-V-I-T-Y. That means living younger for longer, extending that period from 20 to 40 or 30 to 50 to 30 to 90. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week. We hope you are too.